We are on Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph in the Ein Yaakov Mvoar on page Kuf Mem. In the second line, talking about Sancheirev and his arrival in Yerushalayim to besiege the city, he thought to conquer the city. So it says, Kimatol Yerushalayim, when he came to Yerushalayim, Shtole Bistarke, they built him a tower. Ad the slake v'yativ mi lave shura, until he could see over the wall. Ad the chazia l'chula Yerushalayim, until he could see all of Yerushalayim. Ki chazia idzutar b'nei, when he saw it, it was small in his eyes. He said, hello, da'i karti Yerushalayim, da'ala argishet kol masharyati, da'ala kavshet kol medinati. Is this the city of Yerushalayim for which I mobilized my entire army and I captured many countries on my way to get here? Lo, he's the heir of a chalashim kol karche amamaya, it's smaller than all the cities of the nations, the kavshit bitkof yadi, which I captured with strength of my hand. Allah kam umaneid bereshe, he shook his head at it, umovil mighty bidei, al tur beit makdasha de bitzion, velazarta de Yerushalayim. He waved his hand back and forth, like dismissively, waved his hand back and forth at the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Zion, and on the courtyards of Yerushalayim. I would like to talk about this line. The mountain of the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Zion, and the courtyards of Yerushalayim. What or where is Zion? And what is Zion versus Yerushalayim? Here, it seems to say pretty clearly that the Beis HaMikdash is in Zion. Today, we know that there's a mountain called Har Zion, which is not where the Beis HaMikdash is, in the southern wall of the old city. There are two gates. The one farther from the Har Bayis is Shar Tzion, and it goes out to Har Tzion, which is where, among other things, there's something called the Kever of David HaMelech, which may or may not be the Kever of David HaMelech, and today we may shed some light on that. There's also a Holocaust museum, which we talked about in a shiur about a week or two ago, about looted Holocaust property, the Keter, that this person saw and wanted to recover, that was in that Holocaust museum on Har Zion. How do we understand the Gemara, which says that the Beis HaMikdash is in Zion? Now, what difference does it make? Not merely a geography question, but has a number of practical halachic differences. For one thing, we refer to Zion many times in davening. It's nice to know what we're talking about when we daven. So that alone is a good enough reason to know what Zion means. Also, there are a number of halachic implications to defining the boundaries of Yerushalayim, for one thing. The Tosefta in Negayim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Bet. Tosefta is from the time of the Tanaim, the authors of the Mishnah. It's teachings of those same people who did not get into the Mishnah. Very often when the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and asks a question on an Amora from a Braisa, that Braisa is actually a Tosefta. Tosefta says, Ein modidin himena ul chalal el eglarufa. You don't measure from Yerushalayim to a corpse for purposes of bringing eglarufa. We know that if a dead body is found out on the road, you measure to the nearest city, and that city has to bring an eglarufa. It doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim cannot be an Ir Nidachat. If all the people of Yerushalayim would worship, or the majority of the people would worship Avodah Zarah, it would not have the law of an Ir Nidachas. Rabbi Natan Omer, Af Ein Bamishum Sorer Moreh. Rabbi Natan says there's no Ben Sorer or Moreh in Yerushalayim. Ein Milinin Batamet, you may not leave a mace overnight in Yerushalayim, and this is a custom even today, even in New Yerushalayim, which clearly was not Yerushalayim in the time of the Tanakh and of the Mishnah, that they bury the dead immediately, even in the middle of the night. Ein sovrim b'tochah atzmot adam, one may not gather the bones of a person into Yerushalayim. Ein maskirim b'tochah batim, one may not rent houses in Yerushalayim. Ein notnim b'tochah makom l'ger toshav, a ger toshav may not live in Yerushalayim. Vein v'kaimim ba'kvarot, there may not be graves in Yerushalayim. Chutz v'kivrei Beit David v'kever Chuldan Neviyah, except for the graves of the family of David HaMelech and the grave of Chuldah HaNeviyah, Shayu Sham Yimei HaNeviyim Rishonim, which were there, already there from the times of the early Neviyim. V'inani tat v'nizrat v'nechreshet, you don't plant trees in Yerushalayim, you don't plow it. You don't plant it, you don't plow it. Bein mekayim v'ashvatot, you can't have garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Bein motzini lanot, chutz meginat v'adim shayasham mot neviyim rishonim. You can't have trees except for a rose garden that was there from the days of the neviyim rishonim. And it goes on. Things you cannot do in Yerushalayim. So do these things apply on the place that we call Har Tzion? Is that part of Yerushalayim? Another practical difference would be, we know that when you have produce, you give truma, and you give maser to a levi, and in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, you also separate maser sheni, and you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Where is Yerushalayim that you have to eat maser sheni? If you live outside Yerushalayim, you don't have to take a truckload of produce to Yerushalayim. You can redeem it for money and take the money to Yerushalayim. But if you have Maser Sheni in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to redeem it. So where is Yerushalayim that you're not allowed to redeem it? Could you go out to the place that we call Har Tzion and redeem Maser Sheni? Because that's not in Yerushalayim. So all of these questions require defining the boundaries of Yerushalayim in general, and in particular, we will focus on the place that we call Tzion, Har Tzion. Is that part of Yerushalayim? In the 1500s, a number of Svarim talk about redeeming Maser Sheni. The Sefer Charedim says, Perek Nun Bet, Halacha Chaf Aleph, Yerushalayim, asur liftot maser sheni. In Yerushalayim, it's prohibited to redeem maser sheni. Ela yafrishenu v'yavdenu kitruma. You have to separate it, and since you can't eat it nowadays, you have to destroy it like truma. V'im yacholo lichol etzion v'liftoto sham b'shvei pruta shaperdami. But if you can take it to Tzion, and you can redeem it there, even for shaperpruta, that's fine. Kain katav sefer kaftor v'ferach. That's what it says in the sefer kaftor v'ferach, which was an earlier sefer that discussed issues of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. The Radvaz also lived in the 1500s, towards the end of his very long life. Some say he lived 110 years. He was a rabbi of Yerushalayim. Before that, he was a rabbi of Egypt, where he was a rebbe of the Arizal, among others. He also mentions in Shas and Shuvas Radvaz Chelek Bet Siman Tafresh Lamed Gimel that it was a custom to redeem. There was a practice, I should say, to redeem Maser Sheni on Har Tzion, as if it was not part of Yerushalayim. The Radvaz says, "I'll prove to you that Tzion is not part of Yerushalayim. If you stand on Har Tzion and you ask an Arab, where am I? He will say, Tzion. If you then start walking towards the center of the old city, and in the Radvaz's time, they had the walls that we have. So you walk towards the center of the old city, and you're in the Armenian quarter, you ask him, where am I? He'll say, you're in Tzion. When you get to the Shuk, which today the Shuk is near Shar Yafo, I don't know for sure if that's the same shuk he means, but he says when you get to the shuk and you ask him, where am I? He'll say, you're in Al-Quds, which is the Arab name for Yerushalayim. So you see that Tzion, you can ask any Arab, that Tzion and Al-Quds are two different places. And he says that we can rely on this even for purposes of redeeming Maser Sheni and Har Tzion. You cannot redeem it in Yerushalayim, in Al-Quds, but you can redeem it on Har Tzion. Really, the subject of this tshuva is why all of those things that I listed that you're not allowed to do in Yerushalayim, why they're not observed nowadays. You can't have gardens, you can't have trees, you can't have garbage, you can't rent houses. They're not, even in the 1500s, and certainly now too, they're not They're not practiced. So why is that? First, he goes through them one by one and gives reasons why each one might not apply. For example, the reason you can't have gardens in Yerushalayim is so that you shouldn't use fertilizer, which will have an offensive smell when people are Ola Regel. It will offend them. And nowadays there aren't Ola Regalim, so there's no reason not to use fertilizer. He says that you're not allowed to have garbage dump because garbage dumps attract shrutzim. Shrutzim make people tamei, certain creepy, crawly animals. They make people tamei, and today we don't care about tumah. So there's no reason not to have garbage dumps. And he asks, he says, and if you'll say, we have a rule that a gzera of chazal is not nullified just because the reason is nullified. That's a general rule that we apply. We don't say, well, the reason doesn't apply anymore, so we don't observe the gzera anymore. We're bound by it when chazal makes gzera. He says that here it's different because the gzera, all of these gzeros of things not to do in Yerushalayim were based on the kedusha of Yerushalayim, the kedusha of the place where people are olal regel and where people eat truma and korbanos, and that kedusha is gone now. And that's a whole halachic discussion about whether the kedusha of Yerushalayim was permanent or not. Not to go into in detail now. He says that kedusha that led to those gezeros being made is gone, so the gezeros are nullified on their own. Alternatively, he says that since so many goyim live in Yerushalayim and they plant gardens and they have garbage dumps and they bury the dead, there's no point in saying that we can't, because the entire point of these gzeros was to have a certain atmosphere in Yerushalayim. As soon as one person is violating that, it's gone. If there's one garbage dump, then the whole purpose is defeated. And since we can't force the goyim to keep these gzeros, so there's no reason to keep them. That's a little bit of an aside. The main point is that the Charedim, Radvaz, Kaftor Ferach hold that if you have Maser Sheni in Yerushalayim, you can take it out to Har Tzion and you can redeem it there, because Har Tzion is not part of Yerushalayim. Rav Yechiel Michal Tukuchinsky, who lived in the 19th and 20th centuries and wrote a sefer called Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash. He also wrote a well-known sefer on laws of mourning, Gesher Chayim, which many people have heard of. So he says that the source for this opinion that Har Tzion is not part of Yerushalayim, it's a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Chet, pasuk Aleph. Az yakel Shlomo zikne Yisrael, ve'et kol rashei amatot nesiei havot livnei Yisrael. Then Shlomo gathered the elders of Yisrael and all the leaders of all the tribes of Bnei Yisrael, el hamelech Shlomo Yerushalayim, to the king Shlomo in Yerushalayim, lahalot et aron brit Hashem me'ir David hitzion, to bring the aron of Hashem up from the city of David, which is Tzion. Bring it up to where? To Yerushalayim. So you see that Tzion is not Yerushalayim, and Ir David is not Yerushalayim. That's what he says is their source. He says, however, that this pasuk itself, in his opinion, disproves that, because it says that he gathered them to the king Shlomo in Yerushalayim. Where did Shlomo Melech live? We know from Tanakh Shlomo Melech lived in Ir David. So he gathered them brought them to himself in Yerushalayim, but he lived in Ir David, so Ir David clearly is Yerushalayim. So when it says the next phrase, to bring the Aron of Hashem up, Aron of the Bris of Hashem, from Ir David, which is Tzion, to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't mean to bring it from outside Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim. It means to bring it from one neighborhood of Yerushalayim to another neighborhood of Yerushalayim. And he says that this is explicit in other psukim. In Shmuel Bet, Perek Hey, Pasuk Zion, says Vayokod David et Mitzudat Zion hi'ir David. It says that David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. So we know that Zion equals Ir David. Then it says in Malachim Aleph Perek Beis Pasuk Yud, Vayishkav David im avotav vayikaver b'Ir David. It says that David died and he was buried in Ir David. So we know that Zion and Ir David are the same from the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. And we know David's buried in Ir David, therefore David is buried in Zion. And the Tosefta that I read a few minutes ago says, "V'ein mekaymim bakvarot chutz mekivrei Beit David." You can't have graves in Yerushalayim except the graves of the house of David. So from there we know David's buried in Yerushalayim, and from the pasuk we know David's buried in Ir David, and from the other pasuk we know that Ir David equals Zion, therefore Zion is Yerushalayim.
Really coming from Rav Tikhachinsky.
That is from Rav Tikhachinsky, based on the psukim that we just cited. Ir Hakodesh VaMikdash Perik Chelak Bet Perik BeGimel. It says there are many proofs from psukim that Zion and Har Zion are part of Yerushalayim. Now, I've been assuming that when they refer to Zion, they're talking about what we call Har Zion. Rav Tikhachinsky actually has a whole discussion about that as well in Chelak Bet Perek Dalet. Where is Zion? And he says that what we call Har Zion was always called Har Zion. He brings discussions from travelers from ancient times. There was in the year 333 of the Common Era, there was someone known as the traveler from Bordeaux in France, I assume. And he refers to what we call Har Zion as Har Zion. So it was certainly referred to then. And that's even before the Gemara was written, the year 333. So Rav Tikhachinsky argues that if already in that time it was our Har Zion was called Har Zion, that's got to be the real Zion. It's inconceivable that so close to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, year 333, 250 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they would already be so mixed up that they would not know where Zion was. So he argues that for sure is when we see references to Zion.
That assumes that Har Zion is equal to Zion.
Correct. He is making that assumption, which would suggest that what we call today Kever David might very well be the real Kever David, as opposed to some Arab sheikh who is buried there. He says that more recently, in the 1800s, 1867, a researcher named Wilson, presumably the same Wilson as Wilson's Arch, although he doesn't say that for sure, but argued that Zion is farther to the east. What today is called Ir David, he says that argument comes from this researcher, Wilson. He's, according to Rav Tikhachinsky, what we call Ir David today would seem not to be the real Ir David. The real Ir David was on Har Zion. That's Rav Tikhachinsky's argument. He brings proofs from, among other places, very timely, Megillat Chashmonaim. Megillat Chashmonaim is a relatively contemporary account of the Hanukkah story. Contemporary meaning written close to that time, not our time. And there it makes clear that Har Zion is taller than Har Habayis. So our Har Zion is taller than Har Habayis. What we call Ir David today is lower than Har Habayis. And even if you assume that it was somewhat higher in ancient times, it would have to be an awful lot higher than it is now, because now it's much lower. He also brings from Sefer Chashmonaim, rather it's called, that Har Zion is used as a synonym for. So in some places, Har Tzion is referred to as being higher than Har Abayis, and in other places, it's used as a synonym for the Har Abayis. It says that they brought korbanos on Har Tzion. So he says that Tzion actually has multiple meanings. It's the name of a place. It's the name of our Har Tzion. Also, the word Tzion means distinguished. You say, like in Haggadah, Vayhi Sham Legoy, on the pasuk that the Jewish people became a nation in Egypt, we say in Haggadah, this teaches that they stood out, they were distinguished. The word tziyun, in fact, one of the names that's used for a grave, they refer to the tziyun of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's a marker. On the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, there's a commentary called the Shar HaTziyun. Many people mispronounce it as Shar HaTziyon, but it's actually called the Shar HaTziyun. Tziyun means a footnote or citation, because in the Shar HaTziyun, the Mishnah Berurah gives sources for what he writes up above. But it's a citation. You're pointing out something. So all of these are similar meanings. The word itself means a place of distinction or a place that people take notice of. And so in that sense, all of Yerushalayim, Roti Kuczynski says, is Tzion. It's the distinguished place, the place that stands out. But as a individual geographical place, he maintains that Tzion is the Har Tzion that we call today, and that it is a neighborhood of Yerushalayim, not like the Sefer Charedim and the Radvaz and the Kaftor of Ferach bring that it's not part of Yerushalayim and you could redeem Maser Sheni there. He maintains that it clearly is part of Yerushalayim. Our Gemara, which says that Sancheirav referred to the Beis HaMikdash, which is in Tzion, also suggests that it could be either suggests that Tzion is part of Yerushalayim, or it could be understood the way that he's referring to it as it means a distinguished place. He brings from Hoshanos, we refer to the Beis HaMikdash as Tzion HaMitzuyenet, the distinguished place of distinction. That's what those words mean. And we say, B'techazena einenu b'shuvchal Tzion, we say in davening every day, may our eyes see when you return to Tzion. And we conclude the bracha, Machazir Shechinato L'Tzion. He brings his Shechina back to Tzion. Seemingly that's referring to the base of Mikdash, or even if it's referring to all of Yerushalayim, it's also referring to the place of the base of Mikdash. So he says that in that context,
but it's not limited just to Har
Tzion. Right, exactly. Not limited to just Har Tzion. So in that context, he says it means the distinguished place as opposed to a specific geographical location. On the other hand, as I said, he says that in some cases, Tzion refers to a neighborhood of Yerushalayim. And therefore, it's not Akasha that if you ask the Arabs, where am I, they'll say Tzion, and then you ask them a few minutes later, when you walk farther, where am I, and they'll say Al-Quds. Those are different neighborhoods. If you ask him when you're farther out, he'll say Rehavia or Katamon, different neighborhoods of Yerushalayim. We don't know exactly who wrote it, but it is known to be a work close to that time. There's no question about that. I don't know what you mean by does everyone accept it. It's a relatively contemporary account. I'm not aware of controversy about it. Is it completely accurate? We have no way of knowing. There are other works written from around that time that have some differences and some things in common, so we don't have any way of knowing the entire truth. The truth is there's so much we don't know about Hanukkah. And just so you don't think that this is some modern challenging of what we all learned in kindergarten. Even the Art Scroll Hanukkah book says we actually don't know who Yochanan was, who Matisyahu was. We're taught in kindergarten that Matisyahu was the son of Yochanan, and Matisyahu had five sons, including Yehuda Maccabee. This is all speculation. We don't know if they were the sons of Matisyahu. Who was Chashmonai? We say in Alanisim, Bimei Matityahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav. The way we're taught in kindergarten is Matityahu was the son of Yochanan. Kohen Gadol refers either to Matisyahu or Yochanan. Chashmonai is a nickname for Matisyahu and his five sons. There are sources from close to that time of the Hanukkah miracle that tell us that there was Matisyahu, the son of Yochanan. Yochanan was a Kohen Gadol. There was a different person called Chashmonai, and he had five sons. So Yehuda Maccabee and his brothers were not even the sons of Matisyahu, according to that. And we just don't know. And this is not some modern college professor challenging our ancient Jewish traditions. The ancient Jewish tradition is that we don't know. All of these questions could be answered if we knew for sure whether we should believe Sefer Chashmonaim versus Megillas Antiochus versus Sefer HaMakabim versus Josephus. These are all works from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and they have contradictions, and we don't know which is accurate. I don't know that that has to be called controversy. It's just called, we don't know. As far as why it's not part of Tanakh, that's a different discussion. As sources that Tzion is also a name for a neighborhood of Yerushalayim, Rav Tikhochinsky says it does not say that they brought the Aron from Ir David to the city of Yerushalayim. It says they brought the Aron from Ir David. It's already in Yerushalayim, just in a different neighborhood of Yerushalayim called Ir David. It says in Shmuel Bey's Parakhaf, Vayavod David El Beitor Yerushalayim. It says that David came to his house in Yerushalayim. But we know that David lived in Ir David, which is Tzion. So you see that Ir David and Tzion are neighborhoods of Yerushalayim. These are some of the arguments that he brings. Regarding what we call today Kever David on Har Tzion, we know clearly that David is buried somewhere in Yerushalayim. David and the kings of Yehuda are buried somewhere in Yerushalayim. Most of them are buried in the same place. Not all. Rav Tikhochinsky brings that even in the area of Kivrei David, there are different levels, because it says that Chizkiyahu, who we've been talking about so much, was buried in the upper Kivrei David. Pasuk says that, which Chazal interpret to mean he was buried with David and Shlomo. That's the upper, the loftier, the greater tzaddikim of the kings of Yehuda, as opposed to other kings of Yehuda who are buried in the same general area, but not in exactly the same place. The question is, if we don't want to have graves in Yerushalayim, because we don't want people who are Ola L'Regel to become Tamei, so why are the graves of the house of David allowed to be in Yerushalayim? The Tosefta and Baba Basra, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zion, or Mishnah Zion, says, Kol hakvarot mitpanin chutz mikever hamelech mikever navi. All graves found in Yerushalayim have to be removed except for the grave of a king or the grave of a navi. Rabbi Kiva omer af kever hamelech v'kever anavi mipanin. Rabbi Kiva says, even if you would find the grave of a king or the grave of a navi, you have to remove it. Amru lo valo kever beit David v'kever chulda nevi'a Yerushalayim v'lo negai v'hem adam me'olam. So that other Tanaim said to Rabbi Kiva, the grave of the house of David and the grave of Chulda Nevi are in Yerushalayim, and no one ever touched them. Mar lahem misham raya. He said, is that a proof? They had tunnels that took the Tuma out to the Kidron Valley. Kidron Valley is near what we today call Ir David, near adjoining Har Zeisim, which is, of course, full of graves. What was this tunnel? How does it work? The commentary Chasdei David on the Tosefta understands that Rabbi Kiva is saying that the Kivrei David and the Kever of Chulda Neviah are not actually in Yerushalayim. The entrances are in Yerushalayim, and there are long tunnels that extend to the actual burial place outside Yerushalayim. Therefore, if you would pass by the entrance to these graves, you would not become Tamei, because you would not be passing over the graves. Other commentaries in Tosefta learn exactly the opposite. The graves themselves are in Yerushalayim, but they're completely sealed, and there's a tunnel that's a tefach by a tefach wide that carries the tumah from the grave outside of Yerushalayim. The tunnel runs to outside of Yerushalayim. And the way tumah works is that if you pass over a grave, you become tameh, unless the tumah, even the tumah is not physical, it's something spiritual, but like smoke, physically, if it has a way to escape, it's going to escape. So if tumah has a way to escape through an opening that's a tefach by a tefach wide, it will escape. And therefore, if you walk over that grave, you will not be tameh, because the tumah is going out the tunnel to outside of your shalim. That's a halacha regarding tumah. We don't understand it, because tumah is not physical, but that's how it works. So according to the other opinion, the graves are actually in Yerushalayim, but they don't transmit tumah. All of this has very practical implications for if we assume that Kever David is on Har Tzion, is actually Kever of David, can a Kohen go there? Two of my children, in Yeshiva in Israel, had Shabbatons on Har Tzion, and their yeshiva stayed in the dormitory of a yeshiva that's on Har Tzion, but the main entrance to that dormitory is through Kever David. And my sons had to climb through a window to get into the dormitory because they were told not to go that way. Whether that's accurate would depend on this discussion of whether, is that really Kever David? But if it is, does it transmit Tumah? Could be that it's only the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that it doesn't transmit Tumah, and according to Chachamim here, it does transmit Tumah, and for some other reason we're not concerned about it, about having it in Yerushalayim. So all of that is not entirely clear, because there are different interpretations of what it means in any event, and then there would be a question of, do we paskin like Rabbi Kiva, or do we not paskin like Rabbi Kiva, which is not our discussion. Have a good day.